There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
And now I'd like to introduce Flora Rees again, Head of Education, Training and Publishing at the Emirates Literature Foundation. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
So we've been asking everyone in the studio who's from the Emirates Literature Foundation kind of for their favourites, highlights from the programme, because it's such a big programme. There's a lot to unpack. So if you were going to start with one name that you wanted to recommend to people, who would it be?
I want to recommend Nicola Morgan, who is coming to do a session for our older students, older children who come to the festival. I think this is really exciting, actually. We've got a really interesting focus of authors coming who are really interested in reading and the importance of reading for pleasure and the importance of well-being and the importance of helping us, our children, you know, navigate the world, grow and learn. Nicola is doing a session on the Teenage Guide to Life Online, which is a family session. So it's for young people, but for also to come with their families. And really, she's talking and thinking about the facts of what is life online these days, how does it affect our teenagers, and what do we do about it? Because we can't deny, here it is, it's a fact of life. And it's a difficult time to navigate life. It's a difficult time for teenagers to be thrown into this very wide world. And how can we help support them? And what should they know about managing the world?
Because when I was the age that, you know, she's referring to, the only thing that I really had to worry about was the odd text message and MSN Messenger. And that's very different now. And I see the social media that young people have to engage with now. And I just wonder how on earth I would have coped.
I agree. I mean, Nicola has been doing research into the teenage brain, how it changes as you grow, at what point you are essentially have an adult. We know teenagers are risk takers, and that's partly to do with the way that their brain develops. And I just think that it's fantastic that she's coming and she's going to be able to give this session to families in Dubai. Mm.
She's a great speaker as well, isn't she? Mm-hmm. Have a listen to this. This is
People
Nicola.
Ask, how long is an okay time, amount of time to spend on my screen or my smartphone, on social media or whatever? And there isn't an answer to that. My answer instead is to say, make sure you are spending enough time doing all of the other things that we know are necessary for good well-being, good mental and physical health. So make sure you have enough sleep, enough physical exercise and going outside, enough face-to-face conversation, enough either reading for pleasure or any other kind of offline or off-screen hobby. And finally, enough time just for thinking, just for allowing your mind to wander and be creative and just drift and daydream and sometimes even to be bored. And it's been shown that those times, even if it's a minute or 5 minutes here and there, are really important for learning, really important for mental health, and really important for creativity. And I think if we have spent each day enough time, we've done all of those things, then it doesn't matter if the rest of the time we spend on social media, because we've done all of those other good and positive things, and then we can do whatever we want, chill out on social media or computer gaming or whatever it is that we want to do.
Nicola Morgan there, who is Flora Rees's recommendation for who should come and see at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature next year.
I absolutely second that. I think this is one of the key sessions at the festival. And it is, if you have a teenager in the house, you should come along with your teenagers. I would say anyone from the age really of 11 should be at this, because of the younger age that children are getting into using social media. But come along as parents, come along with them, and, you know, go home after you've been at the session and, you know, talk about it. It gives you a very good starting point for what they're concerned about, what worries they may have. It is really one of the most troubling trends, I think, for today, for teenagers, is the pressures that they have to cope with on social media.
And I think what's going to be great with Nicola's session is that she's talking about how to do that. And her books are Positively Teenage, Teenage Guide to Life Online, and Guide to Friends. So she is showing teenagers, you know, how to come through this, a positive way of acting and behaving.
Yes. And I mean, you know, teenagers are still very innocent and very much children, and we need to be there to support them. And by bringing them along to this session, you're giving them the opportunity to listen to an expert on it, to be in a room with other teenagers and other family members, and you will be surprised, I'm sure, when you go home in the car or when you're next sitting around the supper table, how the conversation may open up. This is an ideal way of talking about things that matter and uncovering things that your teenager may be worried about but hasn't got the way in to discuss it with you. So this is, I'm so pleased this is on our programme, Flora. I had a great conversation with Frank and Zaina about, Frank sings some of his poems. Did you know that?
I do now.
Well, I've said to him, we'll have an audition and see if we want to have that as part of Desert Stanzas.
You're just desperate to do a Festival's Got Talent. That's what you want in life.
Maybe. I have tried. I've had the odd go, but no, I wouldn't do it to Desert Stanzas. But it is interesting that a lot of Arabic poetry is sung as well as recited. And it is often, it's impromptu. They don't set out to recite and then burst into song. It's just the moment takes them. But we're with our wonderful Flora Rees from the Emirates Literature Foundation, who is all things education, publishing, and many, many other things as well. We had a question for you earlier from one of our listeners who was asking for recommendations from the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature 2019 for books or authors that would be fine for a five-year-old.
I think this is brilliant because we really want the younger readers coming into the festival as well. And younger
children. Is it suitable? She
absolutely
says, leading question.
It's suitable for readers of all ages. And as we always say, non-readers of all ages, we want people to come in to acquire a love of books with us.
Yes. And do we guarantee that they will acquire a love of books?
If they find the right book at the right time, it will change their life.
Yes. I think there's a common misconception when I talk to people, particularly people who haven't been to a literature festival before, that they have to have read the book before they go to see the session, and that if they do see the session without reading the book, that there'll be spoilers. Or I've never been to a single session where not having read the book has been a problem. In fact, I go to sessions to figure out what to read next.
I think that's brilliant. And for children, this is really important because they come into the festival for live encounters with authors, and they meet our lovely mascot, Lena Litfest. It's an opportunity for parents to enjoy storytelling with their children, and it will depend on the book. So I think this is a brilliant question. Thank you for asking about your five-year-old. So we have a really good range of authors coming to speak to children of this age, and it depends on what your child is into and enjoys. If they are into being read stories and having storytells, we've got Chitra Sundar, who is coming to tell folk tales, which I think will be fantastic, about tricksters and exciting things that happen. We have Fabi Santiago, Brazilian writer and illustrator, which I think is going to be your favourite book of the year, which is called...
Is it about unicorns?
I Really Want That Unicorn.
Okay.
Is the title of the book in session.
I have read that, and it is brilliant, and it has a twist in the ending, and it's amazing illustrations and a great story. She's got two or three really good picture books for children.
I need to know more about this. Sorry, is it a real unicorn?
It's Who Wouldn't Want to Win the Unicorn at the Talent Show.
Oh.
And she is doing a workshop for age 4 to 6. So I think that could be a really enjoyable and engaging one. And for children who like to be really creative, we've got John Bergerman, whose book How to Eat Pizza has these wonderful, big, bold illustrations with googly eyes, and he'll be leading children through how he does that. And I think that's going to be great fun.
See, I already want to go to that as a grown-up because I've been living my life thinking that I know how to eat pizza. But suddenly here comes an author telling me that perhaps I don't know everything there is to know about how to eat pizza.
I think that's true. And there's another one that I'm really excited about, which is Ross Montgomery with his Space Tortoise workshop for ages 3 to 7. Those in the foundation know that I've recently adopted a couple of tortoises, and my family and I are completely obsessed with them.
They have delightful names.
They're granddaughters or grandsons from Lena Litfest.
They are they're actually either uncles or fathers and sisters and aunts. And they are called, because we're going through Shakespearean phase, they're called Rosalind and Antonio.
Oh, very nice.
And they are absolutely fantastic. They've got more character than any pets I've ever had.
Do they come to call?
They do. If you open the garden doors and call them in, they come in and
we used
have their
to have
chin
tortoises
strokes.
That you had to say, tortoisey, here you go. If you said it just like that, they would come, as much as tortoises can run, they would come running to get spinach or whatever other treat, which I do love tortoises. I think they're a very special animal.
I agree, and I think this is a great way actually into books, because who doesn't love tortoises? And so for children who might be interested in that, you'll get the Space Tortoise story and have fun with a creative drawing activity done by Ross at the workshop. So that's, I think, another great session for five-year-olds.
This is a much of a digression, side note here, but if your tortoises do have Shakespearean names, I do think that next Halloween you should be getting them ruffs.
I love that.
Ruffs okay. around their neck. Yeah. I think that would be cruel, Annabelle. I'm sorry.
We can Photoshop them onto the pictures. How about that?
I like that idea. I like that.
I just would have nightmares about the little tortoise pulling its head back and being caught with the ruff, not being able to go to sleep, Annabelle. I also love Benji Davis, who is famous for his amazing book, The Storm Whale, mm-hmm. and has got a new book about a little, and it was very dear to my heart because it was about a little, the character that is in all of them, Moy. Mm-hmm. Goes and I can never and it's very nice, you don't know really whether Moy, because of what Moy wears, whether he's a boy or girl, he always has a little woolen hat on, but he goes to visit his grandmother on an island in this wonderful little thing, and it's just that's his latest one, and it's a beautiful story. Again, I think those are timeless storybooks for children.
Absolutely. And he will be doing a session particularly on friendships and families that will come out of the books that he's written. Which I love the first line. Do you think you should keep a whale in your bath?
If it's big enough, I have no problem with that. But only for a short time. Only for a short time.
And that will be a family session for age 4+. So I think thoroughly enjoyable for small children.
I'm really looking forward to Harriet Muncaster's Isadora Moon series because, I mean, I've never actually read any of the books, but I'm just delighted at the idea of the character. Because I like vampires and I like fairy stories and things like that. And this is a combination of two.
She's a vampire fairy. I have read it and it is delightful. And all she wants is a human birthday. She does not want a vampire birthday with red drinks. She does not want a fairy birthday where she's in a forest glade in an ice cold pool. She wants one that has passed the past and take home things and a magician, but not magic tricks, real magic tricks. It is absolutely lovely.
And of course, Isabel, that's one of the ones you read to the children at our launch,
yes,
I think,
yes,
and they were
I
captivated.
Did. Yes, no, it was, it's a really lovely story, and it has so many, it's about being different, it's about not always fitting in. And I think this is a common theme for children that you might be taller, you might be shorter, you might be left-handed, you have curly hair and others have straight hair, you might be of a different colour. These kind of books, in a very lovely way, help you feel more confident in your own skin. And I have to say, we are so fortunate to live in the UAE and Dubai, where there are more than 200 nationalities who live in peace and harmony with each other. And I think no more is it more apparent than in school. You know, when I go to my grandson's, they have a international day, and there are more than 80 nationalities, and they have the youngest and oldest child from each country holding their flag. And I cry every time. It is just, look at this. Children have no problems on being part of the human race. You know, it's somewhere along the line that the way's lost.
And this is what I love about the festival, because these children are all coming to the festival to see the different authors from across the world, and they take that back to their home country as well. So it's spreading literature right globally. And what we do, which we haven't mentioned yet, the education program as part of the festival is to ask authors to go into schools and meet children in their own school, and to be able to spread ideas and thoughts and books even further than just in the intercon during
A bit like those of you who have ever tasted Marmite, you know that Marmite has to be spread very thin. So what we try and do is spread our reach as thin as possible so we can get to as many children mm-hmm. as possible, so that no one misses out. But if you're listening and you have a chance to bring your family down to the Intercontinental Hotel 1st to 9th of March, don't miss it. We have a wonderful Fringe Festival going on. There's all sorts of other things that will be happening around the festival. So it is truly a festival. It's about celebration. It's about fun. It's about enjoyment. Yes, you may go into a session and cry, but, you know, well-being points to the fact that crying is good for us. So I'm not saying you're going to come along and cry. You'll probably laugh more than you'll cry, but you will go through the whole gamut of emotions whilst you're there.
Absolutely. And we like to think the children's program is really exciting and engaging. Maybe in case some places a little bit educational, but exciting and happy.
Oh, you're going to mention who we've got coming in 2019. We've been sealed lips until now.
And this has been really exciting for us because I go into schools, I talk to schools and teachers, to teachers and students and librarians, and you say, who would you like to come to the Lit Fest? Because we always want to know what's being read right now. And the one of the authors that we are always asked for is Jeff Kinney. So this year, to be able to say to the children, Jeff Kinney is coming to Litfest in 2019, has been an absolute delight.
Yes, I mean, and you know, the wonderful thing about Jeff Kinney is that what I know from speaking to lots of children from all over the world is that he is popular with everyone. What is it about the character, the wimpy kid?
I think he's in every character, if that makes sense. And there's something about how he interacts in his family and with his best friend and at school that just makes children laugh. And if children are laughing, they're enjoying themselves. And it's I think the interaction between the pictures and the story and the handwritten journal, I think that makes it really easily accessible for children who might not otherwise read books so much.
I think I love his style. I think that, you know, the pencil drawings, and as you said, the diary, it's called The Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and it says it all, wimpy kid, because all of us are a little bit wimpy. And it's that there are, we can join forces and we're not alone in this world, that there are others who may also be wimpy, and that he always manages to find a way, and with that wonderful humour, which is an essential ingredient of children's books.
And beautifully here, all the books have been translated into Arabic. It will all be available at the festival. So it reaches right across.
Oh, wow. This is really a special moment for the in our 11th year to be able to welcome Jeff Kinney through our doors. Pop stars have nothing on Jeff Kinney.
Well, no. I remember when we were at the launch and a few key names popped up on the screen, and then Jeff Kinney's name popped up, and the entire like packed room of people
screamed.
Just went, there was an intake of breath all at once, and you could just hear a pin drop. It was great.
It was lovely because I've been speaking to some of the children right outside while we were waiting to bring them in, asking who they like to read, and Jeff Kinney came up more than once. So I think
It is wonderful.
It's really wonderful being able to deliver the requests that come in, you know, year after year after year, and finally being able to say, yes, Jeff Kinney is coming. So that's wonderful.
And it's that excitement that even if you're not a reader, you get caught up in it. And then you think, actually, what is all this excitement about? And you pick up a book and that's it. You're in. You've come through that magic door. You've joined everyone else and you get it. You say, yes, now I understand why people have got their noses in books.
It's that enthusiasm. It's the same enthusiasm that drives people to queue outside a bookshop at like 4 a.m. for the latest Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. It's that enthusiasm that you tap into at a literature festival, which I absolutely love.
I don't think it's everywhere where you go to a literary festival that you'll find quite that enthusiasm.
I've only been to ours.
It is. I have been to lots of others and I would say they are amazing. I love visiting others because you actually get to see how people do things in a different way. But the one thing that authors have said about our festival is the young denominational makeup of our audience is it's much younger than it is in other festivals. It's much younger. But it's also the enthusiasm. No one is worried about, you know, being really enthusiastic because they feel it. They're not holding back any of their enthusiasm. And they also seem to ask incredibly intelligent questions. I mean, you know, the if we're talking about young people, they've read the books, they've thought about what kind of themes there are there. And that is always fantastic. And then the fact that people are ready to explore and try new authors, try new languages, and they've got that within them to think, yes, I'm going to give it a go. I've got the courage to do that. I'm so enjoying this show. It's been absolutely brilliant. I mean, highlight hearing both Frank and Zaina read their beautifully emotive poems, where I can see how much it moved you and moved me too. So we've been fortunate, and now we're looking at the younger end, which is really at the heart of what we do, because a sort of an aim, if we were going to say a simple aim of the foundation and its annual event, the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature, is to help as many people, particularly young ones, fall in love with books. The younger we do that, the better. And parents have a very big responsibility to help that happen. So if you are someone who naturally does not, say, think of books as something that are absolutely an essential in your life, it may be a good idea to bring your family down to the festival and see what they like. Even if you just come to the fringe events and you just take in the atmosphere and then maybe go into some of the sessions that could be for the age range of your children, you may discover a whole new world. you may discover a whole new world. But Errol, you're going to tell us about your third recommendation for young adults. And young adults, I think, really goes from probably, would you say, maybe 15 up to 30?
Yeah, definitely.
There's a whole new category in bookshops now, which someone had to explain. So you've got sort of teenagers, which maybe goes up to 15 or 16, and then you've got young adults.
I'd say YA starts at 12 sometimes as well. I think it depends on the reader.
It depends on the reader. It's when people start reading them. It's probably from about 12 up. Mm. But generally, that's how it works. The protagonists are usually two, three years older than the actual readers.
Yes, yeah. So, Ariel, share with us your third author that you're so excited about.
Okay, so Victoria Aveyard, she is the author of the Red Queen series, which is a YA fantasy series.
And this is, I didn't recognise her name initially, but I've seen the covers so often. And I think everybody, actually, if you don't recognise the name, you will recognise the book cover because they're so iconic. Every single, I think there's four in the series,
yeah.
And every single cover, slightly different crown, but there's always a crown either dripping in blood or with something happening to the crown. Very iconic covers. What's the concept of the story?
Okay, so it follows the story of a 17-year-old girl called Mare Barrow. And she lives in this world which is divided by your either red blood or silver blood. And the red-blooded people are commoners and the silver are elite and they have these superpowers. And so Mare Barrow, she's a red blood girl from the poverty-stricken Stilts. And she finds herself working in the Silver Palace. And she's not like a fan of the fact that it's so divided. But she finds that she has, even though she has red blood, she actually possesses a deadly power. And she has to live amongst these people that she hates. And these silvers have to hide her from view because it's dangerous that she's red-blooded but has these like deadly superpowers. And it's just a great story.
Sounds and it's like a series. Catalyst. It's a series.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The last one just came out a few weeks ago, I think.
It's a great read. It really is.
Has it been optioned for film as well?
It has. Yeah.
It sounds like it should if it hasn't. Oh, my goodness. That sounds really... And as you know, if I go back a few years to my teenage years, I would certainly be wanting to read that. It just sounds fantastic in every sense.
It's such an interesting concept for a story. This is Victoria Aveyard talking about what inspired her to write the Red Queen series.
I always wanted to write a novel, and I never thought I had the stamina or the endurance or any kind of attention span to finish.
Because you started screenwriting,
yes,
correct?
So I came to the end of my 4 years studying screenwriting, and I was interning at the Fox Lot, and there was a screenplay in the office that I said, you know, this should also be a young adult novel, and we can package them together, and that would be a really great sell, and no one really listened to me. But it just got my brain working of like, I finished four or five screenplays at this point. I can write the end on a completed bare bones story. Maybe I can at least try a book. So then I started brainstorming, and the first little bit of Red Queen that came to me is I had this idea of an image of a teenage girl in an arena who's about to be executed, but instead of being killed, she kills her executioner with lightning. And I thought, I'd watch that movie. I'd read that book.
Perfect.
Let's see where this goes.
It's really interesting that it's been optioned for film now when originally the origins of the story for her were in screenplay, were in a cinematic world. So she went from this cinematic idea in her head to novel form, and then it will find its way back to the screen.
But that is often when you are a very visual writer. So if she was an expert in screenwriting, she would have had that visual, those visual moments. And then if you put that into, again, for the reader through the words, the very visualness of her descriptions and things like that will be really strong.
I think I found that with Graham Simsion. Wasn't he a screenwriter before he became
an
novelist?
You know, he's got his third one out, The Rosie Result. The Rosie Result is the third one. Not out yet, but it will be. And I've begged for a copy of that.
Does it come out before the 25th of December or not? Do you remember?
It's next year, yes. I mean, I just love his writing and I can't wait for the Rosie. So there was the Rosie Project. If you've not heard of Graham Simsion, a brilliant Australian author who, as you said, is a screenwriter. So he started with the Rosie Project, then he moved on to the Rosie
Effect.
And the third one is the Rosie Result. And I have never laughed so much. And I was given a copy at London Book Fair. When you go around London Book Fair, every publisher sort of hands you books out and says, oh, this is such an enjoyable read. You won't be able to put it down, et cetera, et cetera. So I pile it into my bag and think, yeah, heard that before. And I did go back and I just picked up. I could not stop. It is one of the best reads I've ever had. And I loved the fact that the characters, there was a sympathy with the characters because the main character suffers from, he's on the Asperger autism spectrum. And so he devises this project to find a wife because his research has shown that if you're married, you live a better, healthier life. And
it's all science-based. It's all calculated.
It is. And there are so many funny parts. I mean, really, I do. And I love to, I really look forward to. And he came to the festival a few years ago.
He was brilliant. He was great.
Brilliant.
On that note, I'd like to give a recommendation, if I may. So I like this idea of accepting ourselves for who we are and celebrating awkwardness, which I think is something that the Rosie Project does really well. We have someone coming to the festival called Tai Tashiro, who's written a book called Awkward, The Science of Why We're Socially Awkward and Why That's Awesome. Now, this is an idea that I really can get behind because I've had many awkward moments in my life and even on the show, which I think a few of you can attest to. In the vein of Quiet and The Geek Shall Inherit the Earth comes this illuminating look at what it means to be awkward and how the same traits that make us socially anxious and cause embarrassing faux pas also provide the seeds for extraordinary success. So I'm really looking forward to this. And if you can't find me when this session is on, it's because I'm in the session trying to listen to what Tai Tashiro has to say.
And that leads me actually to another of the children's programme sessions, Kathy Hoopman, who's doing a session on feeling anxious, which for a family audience. So a bit similar to Nicola Morgan, she is going to be doing something all about how do we feel, why do we feel, and how should we cope with that? Because I think we've talked a lot about what we've got on the programme for the younger children. We've talked about we've got our YA and teenage, and there's a lovely sort of section in the middle as well. We've got Jeff Kinney coming, but some fantastic workshops for children that should really get them inspired for our kind of middle grade age. We've got Rachel Hamilton, who's doing a workshop on how to write funny. And if anyone can teach you that, it's Rachel. I think that's going to be fantastic. And Julia Johnson, another of our real sort of festival
veterans.
Yes, that's a good word, Annabelle, is doing a drama and language workshop. So, you know, getting
people. She used to be a drama teacher and an actor herself, so brilliant.
I think that's going to be absolutely brilliant. And one other just wanted is Ben Littleton coming with football school.
Oh.
And why football is, there's nothing you can't learn by studying football. And I think this is a book that could really get some of our non-readers reading.
What age group would you say he's writing for?
We've put that down for 7+. I think it can go older.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that'll be a really good one.
I know many schools are pitching for that. Mm. I bumped into a few teachers and they said, we really want him because we think he will appeal to those boys particularly. It's not always boys, but boys who have yet to fall in love with books, and we think this could be the trigger.
That's right. So he's going to be doing a festival session at the Intercon, but he's also very kindly offered to do one of our big school visits, so he'll be going out and about to a school somewhere around the UAE.
fantastic. The authors are so generous with their time.
We really appreciate it
because we couldn't do this huge education program where, I mean, this year we got to 28,000 students across the UAE.
We did, and of the author visits alone, we had 77 authors went and visited more than 9,000 children in their own school or university, which we feel really got to spread this sort of inspiring idea of books and reading.
Yes, and if you could just imagine a military campaign, but this is a literary campaign, and the amount of work and blood, sweat and tears almost that go into making this flawless. I mean, where every step of the journey is planned and organised and everything. I mean, it is a real feat. And, you know, all credit goes to Flora and her education team who spearhead the whole of the education programme. And it is something that's grown and grown and grown. And schools and colleges across the UAE have recognised the value and the importance of the year-round educational program that the foundation runs and the positive impact it is having across the board.
And I'd like to mention that we're obviously talking mainly about the English program here, but we do run all of this in Arabic for Arabic schools and Arabic students. And we've got a fantastic lineup of Arabic children's authors coming to the festival as well. People like Buthaina Al-Essa, Kuwaiti author and founder of the Taqween platform, and she's been publishing novels since she was 23, and she's going to do some fantastic sessions for children. Rania Zabibdaher, Mona Yaksen doing illustration with children in Arabic. The Arabic children's program is really, really good.
It is. I mean, I've been sort of just looking in my few spare moments at different things. And one that's not really part of the children's programme, but one that I am definitely, I'm going to be AWOL. I'll go missing during that one for sure, is James Owens and Omar Gabash. The World Is Just a Book Away. And James Owen has founded the this wonderful charity to try and it's a collection, a bit like you said, for the love of words. It's a collection of stories. And he's trying to get the message out there at how important books are and trying to get books to places where they weren't. And of course, we know Omar Gabash is the author of Letters to a Young Muslim. And I know that that panel's going to be electric, and it's also going to be a lot of fun and laughter as well.
We've talked a lot about all the authors who are coming to the show. We also want to remind you how much the festival offers to those of you who are writers, who are wanting to become writers. We will have creative writing workshops for adults as well as our children's programme. And of course, as we did last year, and Paolo was involved last year, we will have our publishing strand, which will be bringing key publishers who are coming to the festival to talk about the issues that are facing the publishing world and the industry at the moment. And it's really going to be interesting about translation, about where we are with digital publishing, why editorial is important, and things like literary agenting and improving retail in the book industry. So fascinating for publishers, also very interesting for writers and anyone who's got an interest in what creates a reading culture.
Okay, and did you mention workshops as well?
I did mention workshops, creative writing workshops in English and Arabic.
I'm just shocked at how quickly you managed to plug all that. I'm very impressed. So Flora Rees there talking about what's happening at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature 2019. It's happening from the 1st to the 9th of March. Now, as we wrap up, we've spoken about a lot of highlights on the show today. There's only so much that we can talk about in 3 hours on the show because there's an awful lot happening during the festival. But what I'd like each of us to do is to read out a quote about literature, about reading, that you think sums up how you feel about the festival. Ariel, can I start with you?
Okay, so the quote is, "While thought exists, words are alive, and literature becomes an escape, not from, but into living." And Cyril Connolly said that.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. What about you, Flora? What's your quote?
I've gone back to Dr. Seuss, who speaks so much sense. "The more that you read, the more things you will know. The more that you learn, the more places you'll go." That's what literature does for you.
Mine's from, I've got a couple, sorry. Vladimir Nabokov. "Readers are not sheep, and not every pen tempts them." And then from the wonderful Bernard Cornwell. "Don't tell me the moon is shining. Show me the glint of light on broken glass." I think that's the magic that writing does.
And that's the kind of thing that you'll learn in the writing workshops. My quote is always, has always been, and will always be, F. Scott Fitzgerald's, "That is part of the beauty of all literature. You discover that your longings are universal longings, that you're not lonely and isolated from anyone. You belong."
Let me finish with this. This is on behalf of all the writers who are coming to the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature next year. They say, they don't say, someone else says, but I'll say on their behalf, "I can't write without a reader. It's precisely like a kiss. You can't do it alone." That's John Cheever.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.